This is My Leak and this is my podcast. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with a remarkable individual who wears many hats in the world of mental health and well-being. Today, we talk to Kobe Campbell, a licensed trauma therapist, best-selling author, media expert, entertainment consultant, and captivating keynote speaker who has won several awards. She kills it on TikTok as well, Instagram, everywhere. Kobe's latest book, Why Am I Like This? How to Break Cycles, Heal from Trauma, and Restore Your Faith provides valuable insights for those on the path of self-discovery and healing. Kobe is not just a writer. She is the founder of Healing Circle Therapy and Wellness Center. Join us in conversation as Kobe shares her insights and experiences. No matter where you are on your growth journey, Kobe has a wealth of knowledge to share.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, Kobe, I am more than excited to have you here, and I cannot believe that I am just talking to you. I actually can, because I'm just bringing the podcast back. But we've been connected for a little while now and have managed to even sit down and have a meal together. I'm very excited to have you on the podcast today.
Yes, I'm
you
excited.
Are an author, licensed clinical mental health counselor, trauma specialist, writer, and speaker. And what fascinates me most about your work, Kobe, is your youthful curiosity, that and you are younger. You have this youthful curiosity, but this wise approach to life. And so when we talked about having you on here, I think you and I could talk for hours in all directions.
Yeah.
When I reached out and said, you know, what would you like to spend some time with today? And you said you wanted to spend some time on the topic of losing our loyalty to things that we no longer want.
Yeah.
And so before we even get into this, I'm like, what is your personal connection to this topic? Like, tell me about it.
What, yes.
That sprang up. There was an exclamation mark, losing our loyalty. So
yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. You know, I think that I'm at a point where I don't feel like everything that I have like longed for or prayed for has happened yet, but enough of it has happened. And there was this part of me that was like, forge forward, like keep going, more accomplishments. And I think one day I was just like sitting down and I was just like, do I like what I'm doing? Mm. Do I like how I'm doing it? Does it feel like I get to be myself in my own life? Or do I feel like I have to show up in a specific way because there is this dream that I conceived in my soul long ago and I had to reach this dream?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I need to stop being so loyal to things that are detrimental to the person I became and didn't know that I would become.
Ooh, I was having a conversation with a friend and there were these dreams that she had for herself and they were like features in these particular magazines or various venues that no longer exist. And so there are parts of me that wonder, you know, if we are coming up with these ideas of what we want for ourselves, but are not, maybe not updating. Maybe not updating the dreams with the times,
yeah.
Or maybe not realizing, you know, I mean, I remember thinking as a teenager that I was going to be married by 26 and have kids. And I know there are a lot of young people who've done that.
Yeah.
But I think at the age that I was, it sounded so far off. And then yes. I got to 26 and I'm like, I still have not quite figured out how to pay my own bills.
Yeah. Yes.
I still have even, I still don't even know how to keep up with all these due dates. And so mm-hmm. I want to be partnered and a parent and working. And it just was like, oh my gosh, I think my timing was off.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, how do you define maybe this concept of loyalty? And I know that so many people are probably struggling with this, but like these things that you wanted, what are some things that you put yourself through? Like, how are you showing loyalty? What did that feel like? You know, what was that process? How was it that Kobe is being loyal to her dreams?
Oh, man. Listen, I'm going to be super vulnerable and share in process.
Okay.
You know, I think for me, curiosity is like the foundation of my life. Like, I'm always asking questions and always asking the people around me to ask me questions. Okay. And, you know, I continuously would say out loud, I hate running a business. I hate it. And one day, Kyle sat me down and he said, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. And I just want to share my thoughts. Mm-hmm. But, like, I want you to just listen. And he was like, why are you doing it if you hate it?
Questions that need answers.
Quickly.
Yes.
I was like, because there's so many women who need healing and there's so many, and there's not a practice out there doing what I'm doing. And there's, and like, I was fumbling over these answers that like could sound good if I believed them.
Right. You know what I'm saying? If I believed them, they'd be good.
And yeah. And it hit this point where I just kind of started stuttering and I burst into tears. And I said, because this is what I always told myself I would do.
Okay.
And I felt like I was letting a version of myself down to even consider closing my practice, even consider like, no, there's a version of you that invested so much in this, invested so much in the work you're doing and how you're doing it. And like, staying loyal to that version of myself is betraying my current self. And I was like, I am wrestling with that right now, you know? And so I think learning to be loyal to who I am right now is saying I'm committed to the present. The past is a resource. The future can be a hope, but like I can only be committed to who I know myself to be right now. And who I know myself to be is withering under the reality of running this business. And so a couple weeks ago, I decided I'm closing it. Yeah.
I mean, I say that as someone who has done the exact same thing. Like, please don't let that shock and awe. It's not surprising. No, it's okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think, number one, I'm proud of you. I think the conversations that I've had with you, you're so talented. You're so sharp. And you're so hardworking, you know, and I know how difficult it is to be able to do something, right? I think that was the big lesson for me is that I let some of the people around me, like my accountant, talk me into like opening my own warehouse and doing all these things. And it's like, you can do it. And I was, but I never at any point stopped and asked myself, do I want to, you know, it's like, I can do a lot of things. You know, there are a lot of things that I'm capable of doing. But do I want to? And I think what I'm noticing, because I feel like in the people that I'm talking to right now, do you feel like that there is just this like energy of like, I don't know, is it burnout? Is it flexibility? Because nothing stays the same. I mean, if you go back and you look at history, like nobody, very few things carry on forever. But I feel like there was this period of time where there was social media sprang up.
Yeah.
And as a person who has worked in marketing, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such an opportunity to cut out the middleman and go directly to the people that you're trying to reach. And why not? You know, if you have something to offer, do it. But I think there's so much that I've learned in this time. And I guess I'm wondering, What do you know today that you didn't know when you started that business? So like what I don't want to do is talk people out of, I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to listen to my podcast and be like, she's just on, you know, I'm not saying quit everything and soft life yourself. And, you know, everything's just like rest, soft life this. But I think that there are some people who have great things to offer who could who could do things. But it's like, what do you know today that you didn't know when you started that you could like share with people, things to consider? You know, number one, do you even really, you can do it, but do you want to do it?
Yes. Do you want to do it? That's a essential question that we should be asking ourselves, because the answer of why we do or don't is going to be different and it's going to be telling. You know, I think what I've learned is that play is essential. Like play is essential. Like the, like children's first language, human's first language is play. And I feel like I lost that language. And I kept waiting for there to be, I told myself that I would refuse myself like play and joy, not verbally, but kind of like this heart posture. I'm like, I'm going to refuse myself like play and joy for some future time where I'll get to have it in an unlimited way. But like the same way that life continues to change, like crises continue to come, you know? And I was like, oh, like if I don't make space for this now, I'll never make space for this and I'll never get to experience. I also think I got to a point where I was like, man, what, when will I get to experience all that I put into the world for myself? You know, like I give the world so much of myself, and I feel like I'm like, I feel like I'm giving something I haven't even really gotten to sit with all the way. And so I think there's a little bit of like, okay, I want to enjoy being me. I don't want to see myself as like a emotional or spiritual workhorse, you know, that's only useful for helping other people get revelation and healing. But like, what about the things that God's put in my heart for me to just enjoy within myself? Like, I just want to enjoy being me. And I also think that one thing I'm like reconciling is the things that I sowed in the past, they are bearing fruit now. They are producing something now, just something different. And that's okay. You know, because the truth is my ability to stop and close the practice and play and write poetry and write songs and play with my kids for hours on end and go to them daggone PTA meetings. Like,
Is like that what you're going to do? Is that what you're going to do now? Will you still be working or?
I'll still be like, I'll still do speaking and I want to do more writing. But that, even that, like I love to write. I just couldn't find the time to write. Because, you know, I had a team of eight. It's there's always something, you know? And so wanting to get back into writing and speaking, and then in my more personal life, just like playing again with art and things that I've enjoyed before. But I'm also grateful for that, that self that was so ambitious. Like I don't resent that in myself, because that hard work did create space for me to be able to have the resources of, for me to logistically stop and play now.
I think that's important to note, because I feel like there is this sort of like mass sort of like slowing down, closing of businesses, and I think that is sort of the conversation that's not being had, is that a lot of people have prepared to do this. And so what did you do? Like, how can you confidently close these doors? Like saving, what did you do?
Well, I'll be honest. I think that I definitely saving, but not as much as I thought, because I was like, oh, we're going to reinvest into ABC. I can't wait for that lease to be up. But I think that I also created a life where there wasn't one bag, one egg in a, like a specific basket. Like I've always kind of been like a hand in everything kind of person. And so like the practice has been something I love to do and has been profitable. And at the same time, my speaking has been profitable and my book stuff and my, so I think having like multiple facets, multiple ways, because I do plan on also like making money and making a living off of the other things, but in a way that is more slow and more centered to just me existing and not like, you know, answering texts and emails at all hours of the night.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a part of me that's just not prepared to, like, yeah. I would even say I'm the emotional, and like, that's okay. I told Kyle, I was like, I'm actually kind of excited because this is the first time in a long time where I have not had a clear plan. And that feels freeing to me.
Yeah. Will you still see people?
Yes. So I have like 6-7 clients that I'll see.
Okay.
We call them PFPs at the practice. So they're public facing professions. So people that we would recognize. And so I just kind of keep my small little group. But when it comes to like managing other people, training, supervising, reading over 80 notes and all the things. And I was like, you know what? It's okay if my gifts only benefit me for a little bit.
Yeah. If you were going to help someone who is in a similar position, what are some ways that we can potentially identify sort of these unwanted loyalties? What would you suggest?
Woo. First of all, girl, if you are joking about hating it, then you really hate it.
Like, it is a joke. Similar, like when they say when your friends are joking, like they probably mean it.
But yes.
If you're even joking, you probably hate it.
You probably hate it. Like I do love training and teaching therapists and stuff, but I do not love the logistics that come with it. So, and also being open to like, maybe I'll come back with investors and I'll get to only do the thing I love. You know, just being open to like, nothing has to be final. Mm-hmm. But I think for anyone who's in the position where they're like, I don't know if I should do this or not. I think I get a lot of like intensity from the reality of like the stories I hear on a daily basis.
Okay.
And I think that is a reminder for me that like, you have to come first. No one is responsible for putting you first.
Right.
You know? And like, just what do you need? Judging the need, moralizing the need does not meet the need. And it's your job to meet the need, you know? And I was like kind of waiting for like, well, maybe like Kyle's job will shift, or maybe, well, the kids will get older. And it's like, I cannot depend on external circumstances to meet my needs.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
That is it. Now, I feel like there are some societal expectations and cultural norms that impact our loyalty.
Oh, yeah.
Can't we talk about? Yeah. What are some of those? Like, what were some societal things that impacted your loyalties?
Yeah. Excellence, the idea of excellence and the idea of service.
Wow.
What does that mean
when people say excellence? I mean, I've said that because I feel like that has been like, that was like the hallmark of who I felt I was, but like, what does that mean for you? And because I hear people say it all the time and I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. I don't know. If I'm being honest, I don't know. Like, I really have been asking myself, like, I think that excellence is, it's a visceral experience. When you're just around someone excellence, or you see something that has been done in excellence, you just know. But I think that it's kind of been like lassoed into this way of making people feel like you have to use your highest energy for everything that you do, that people see.
Yes. Everything must be done at a level, like exerting all the energy that you have. And the truth of the matter is, and that's what I've been exploring in these last few years, everything that you do doesn't need your level 10 effort.
Yep.
Everything that you do doesn't need your level 10 effort. And operating in excellence, I think so many people feel like that's without mistakes. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, this replying around the clock, you know, if somebody contacts me or reaches out to me. Now, here's the part that I'm like, they reached out to you because you have the juice. And now you feel like you have to jump back at this email or this text or whatever within seconds to prove that you are excellent. And so I don't know. I feel like, self-included, I mean, getting ourselves into a tailspin. Something I'll share with you is that revelation I had was and this started when I was younger, you know, I knew that I didn't, I wanted a different life. Yeah. And younger me, with all I knew, was like, if you can be the best in every single setting, right? Classroom yeah. setting, recess, in line, if you always shine, people will notice you and push you forward. And it worked, you know? Yeah. So, I got noticed, you know, I got skipped a grade. You know, I was always, I think, even in high school, like the teacher's like, could you be a Christian leader? Like, I mean, I did all the things. I did the news. Yeah. And there was something that I was talking with my therapist through over the last few years of like, what would it take for you to get out of survival mode? What would it take for you to believe that you could stop doing that and still survive? Because I was convinced that if I turned this thing off, I would be homeless.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, you're not going to be homeless. And I'm like, you don't know my situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know my bills. Yes. You don't know. And I was so terrified that like, if I stop in every setting, Kobe, I would like always be trying to be the best, you know, and not because I was trying to compete with people, but because I felt like I needed to do that to survive.
Yeah. Yep.
And now just this idea of like, I can show up on a Zoom meeting and be quiet, you know, or some things I can like be right in the middle. Yep. And my inbox
obliterated.
The inbox is like, email just isn't what it used to be for me anymore, you know? And I think that's going to change. You know, we kind of got to, but I do wonder, people have to work.
Yeah.
We have to work.
Yeah.
And we want to rest. And so what can we do, Kobe? Because you are grateful that you did what you did.
Yep, for sure.
But I do, for the person who maybe is just starting, you know, I think there are some younger people that listen to me or people who are not young, but like they want this freedom in their lives.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep, I agree. I feel like one of the things that excellence roped me into is thinking that it had to be, it had to exhaust me to be good. Like if something was too easy, it felt like I was cheating if I became successful at that thing without like blood, sweat, tears. So like example, I would do like, you know, these online intensives that were like not just a workshop, but like an online intensive, and it's 3 days and I'm sending you all these resources. And my husband's like, why don't you just make a worksheet? And I'm like, that's not enough. I feel like we need more. And like, now I'm making worksheets and they're doing great financially.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. And just letting the small things take up the space that they can and benefit you in the way that they can. Like I think that realizing like it doesn't have to exhaust me to benefit me.
Yeah.
And the dollar amount is the same. You know, I'm like, man, all those days I was losing sleep and emails and funnels and da da da. And I just was like, I couldn't fathom doing it small and reliably. But like, I would rather do it small and reliably now than do it big and burn out.
Yeah. And now I want to have a real talk conversation about comparison. And I think you're a millennial. Do you qualify as a millennial or are you?
I do. Okay. I'm right in the middle. I'm right there.
Okay. Okay. I feel like there, that generation, there is, I don't know. I feel lucky sometimes that I got to exist, you know, in some of those like earlier professional stages of like, I didn't see my boss. I didn't know what my boss did on the weekend. I didn't know how she lived her life, even though I did stop by like to drop a gift off. I was like, dang, she was living the life. And that's when I was like, oh, I definitely want to step my game up. But there's so much access. Yeah, that's all it took. Right. But it's like, I was remember like pulling up and like her house was like up on the hill, like, bawling. Somebody is bawling around here.
Okay.
But I think that the millennial generation, there was just being able to see so much so soon Yes. Almost seems like it put gas on. I think comparison is natural, but I think in the scope of like me pulling up to my boss's house was real versus this idea of all these young people doing all these things.
Yeah.
How did that impact you on this like path of excellence? And then where are you now with that? Because I know that this impacts this generation. So to be on like, I see nothing, blinders on. That's BS. Tell me about it.
Yes, tell me blinders about it. Open, girl. You looking left and right. You want to know what's so funny? I feel like this is like the flip side of the coin. I grew up as an excellent child. Mm. I grew up as like the kid who could read early, the kid who I was number 8 in the nation for the 200 meter dash. I was that kid. Social media humbled me quick. I was like, and in a beautiful way for me, I think that I realized there are comparisons in which I am not at the top. And it made me be quiet because I was so used to being in the comparison. I was at the top of the comparison, you know?
Yeah.
And
you were.
And social media, you know, it opens the floodgates. It gives you access. And I realized I'm not the only excellent person out here. I'm not the only excellent black woman out here. I grew up in white suburbs. It can be real easy to be like, I am. You don't think you're doing it, but you can internalize that, like, I am different. I am excellent. I will rise in any space. And then you get out there and there are people who are more excellent than you. And I think for me, I kind of turned comparison on its head because it's natural. It's a reaction. So I absolutely compare myself to people, but I get curious, like, what desire is this tugging on? Because I think comparison is an internal like gauge that like there's something they have you want that you have not yet accessed.
Yeah.
And then I have to go a little deeper. And I think you've touched on this before. Like, do I want what they have or do I want what it looks like they're feeling?
Ooh, that's my favorite. Because I'm like, you don't even want that.
I do not
want that. You don't want that.
What?
You don't want that.
Do not. Yeah. I was like, do I want a third baby? And Kyle was like, what? He was like, I'm going to go ahead and say you don't. And then he literally just talked me through it. And I don't want another baby. I just want the snuggles back.
Yeah.
I want the, you know what I mean? Like, I want the cute, I want the baby changes. I want the learning to walk. I want I want those. Kids are getting big and independent and it's beautiful. And I love seeing them become their own humans. And there's part of me that's like, oh man, if I knew how fast that would go, I would have sucked that up just a little longer.
Yeah.
And I want the excitement of watching something new blossom. How else can I experience that?
Yes.
How else can I, like, because it's not just ignoring the need of wanting that. Like, how else can I get that? You know, maybe it's through play. Maybe it's through starting something new from the beginning. Like, you don't have to be a child because I'm going to have to raise that thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's for me. It's like cooking and recipes. And like every weekend, I like you said, starting something new. It's like I go to the farmer's market. I get a couple things. Some things, you know, I try to always get something that I've never cooked before. And then I just either go online and try to just see how people are making it, remix it. And then when I'm done, I'm just like, oh my God, I did something. I didn't have to start a new business. I
didn't
have to start a new business. But I got that feeling, you know?
Yes.
And also, you know, I think people, I just want to say this, you know, you see people taking these trips and it's like, you don't even like to travel like that. That's not even your jam. That's not even what you do. You know, I have shared with people, I think I shared this in one of my Instagram lives, that when I first started making like money that I had never made before, I walked into one of these Saks Neiman Marcus, and I promise you, Kobe, it was like this purse. I think it was this like $5,500. And I promise you, it was like the light was shining on it, but it felt like the lights from heaven were shining on this purse. And it was like, and it was just this voice that was just like, you can afford that. You can, you know, and I still to this day, I hate that purse. It is sitting in the back of my back closet. Like, I was like, this thing's horrendous.
I just wanted to prove that I could.
Yes.
And that was just like such a huge lesson. And it's just like, you know what, Malik, there are some things that you're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
That you will just have to know in your heart that you can, and you do not have to decorate yourself with things to try to show people what you can do. And it's just like, you could do that. Yeah, you could afford that. But like, so what? You know what I mean? Do you want it?
I was gonna say, do you want to buy it though? Do you want to have it?
And this idea, I think the other thing that I realized is that, like, I don't even have the lifestyle for some of the stuff that, like, I love looking at people wearing these bomb looks online, like the outfits, the whole situation. But it's like, first of all, I'm still in a stage where my kids are touching all over my clothes. So I can only wear that on like vacation, because I am trying to raise my kids free. And when you raise a free kid, free range chicken.
Right. You know? And they'll get just all the things on you.
Yes. And so I was thinking, what if one of my kids break grease? Oh, my daughter deliberately stepped on a pair of glasses just this weekend. And her dad was just like, oh my God. And I was like, they were $10.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm ranging. It's all good, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I did want to ask that, because I do feel like that is serious. Now, before we go, I want to talk about this beautiful book you wrote.
Oh,
Why Am I Like This? Can we talk about this?
Yeah, we
can. Are you still feeling good about this and proud about this? And
I am, I think I'm feeling incrementally proud of it more and more.
Okay.
Proud.
Yes. But without us talking about the whole book, tell us what it is and what people can enjoy, because I do think if people listen to this interview and they want to like hear more from you and your work, since you are closing your practice and they can't come, they won't be able to come see you. But I think,
and they're hearing it first. I've not shared it
they're
anywhere
hearing it
else.
First. Yes, breaking news. But the fact that we still will be able to kick, you know, you kill the TikTok, you kill the Instagram. I love your content, but I think this is something. This Why Am I Like This book is something that lives. And so tell us about it. Why did you write it? And what are people saying they're getting from this book?
Yeah. I wrote this book because I realized that people of color who identify as Christians just were getting lots of terrible information. And, you know, my relationship with God tied with my mental health journey are like, they're like inextricable. Okay. And similar to what I asked before, I think I started asking myself, how else can I relate to God? Because a lot of the ways I was taught and a lot of the ways that were advertised were just not, didn't resonate with me and didn't feel authentic and didn't feel like I could be a human being. And the part of my humanity that felt most like judged was like my struggle with depression, my struggle with suicidal ideation. And, you know, so a lot of what led me into a curiosity of understanding like the neurobiology and like the psychology of mental health and trauma and how it affects your life from childhood to adulthood was me figuring out like, okay, God, where are you in this? And so I think that's really what this book is for anyone who is like, I am hurting consistently season after season. This thing keeps coming up. I don't know why. I don't know where it's from. It really is like a book of me sharing my own story, but then also gently walking people through understanding like, hey, that thing that happened to you in childhood is not going to go away until you like look at it and put your hands on it and connect to it and address it. That little person still needs you. They still need that healing. And, you know, you can give it to yourself and God can give it to you. And you know what I really hope? I really hope that this book is kind of like a, like, you don't have to do faith the way other people do it book. That's like the subtext for me. It's like, you don't have to do faith I was none of the things that people believed a Christian person should be. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I feel like I only identify as Christian because I feel like I've met Christ. And if it wasn't if I did not have that personal relationship, I'd be like, I cannot be connected to some of y'all, you know? And so this book really, my favorite part is that it goes through the neurobiology of things like patterns, triggers, and it has exercises for you to trace your childhood traumas. And I think that is like the number one thing that people have said, like tangible resource and validation that like, they're not just making this up. They're not just lazy. They're not just, you know, emotional. They're wounded and their wounds need to be healed.
I think that's a beautiful place to stop. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm again so proud of you. Excited for you. Can't wait to watch you play. Hopefully you'll share some of that with us online.
For sure. Absolutely. Thank you, Miley.
Thank you.